welcome back. Hour number three. Glad to have you on board tonight. We always try and deliver of three terrific hours. They're always different and always something interesting. Father Paul Kramer is back with us for hour three tonight from Ireland, and we are looking at an absolutely amazing, stunning development, the overthrow and destruction of the Church of Rome. The Catholic Church will never recover unless millions, tens of millions of church members, and there's 1.3 billion altogether, stand up, rise up, and reject the overthrow of the papacy. And this Bergoglio and his creepy Fernandez buddy, this cartel of evil that is now ensconced in the Vatican has got to go, or the church will go. It's not going to make it. Maybe it'll split off into two factions. I don't know. But unless, as I suggested last time Father Kramer was here, unless, in my view, the bishops around the world organize into some kind of an ecumenical action platform, there's no hope. Not that I can see. And I'm not a member of the church. I'm just looking at it from the outside. Father Kramer, thank you for being here. Welcome back.
Yes, it's great to be back, and I cannot but agree with your assessment of the really deplorable situation that the church is in now. And my own belief is that we might not see a strong enough reaction on the part of the bishops until there is the hand of God strikes. The punishing hand of God will strike the world.
And I understand. Okay, let me ask you to pause. What is wrong with the bishops as a class, a group in the church? Why can't they be more activist? And what the heck does it take to get them to wake up to the fact that Bergoglio and his cronies have overthrown the papacy? I don't know how this cannot be crystal clear. My goodness, they're in the church, they're on the inside watching this, experiencing it. But are they a weak, subordinate class psychologically? What is your take on this?
This can be attributed to the situation, attributable to original sin, which has the effect of darkening the intellect, and the malevolent influence of the devil, which is the active agent in darkening the human intellect in such people as the hierarchy today. We had a situation like this before in the church long ago during the days of the Arian heresy. That was the heresy of a priest by the name of Arius, who denied the divinity of Jesus Christ. He attributed to him all of the attributes of divinity except the divinity itself, turning the concept of the Trinity was turned into what would be a Unitarian God, that the Son of God was a creature and not as we see in the prologue to the Gospel of St. John, where clearly we have seen the glory of the only begotten Son of God, who was with God, who is God. And St. Vincent of Lerins, one of the ancient fathers, I think he died in the year 455, described the condition of the hierarchy in the days of that Arian heresy. And he said it was a sort of a fog that had descended on all the bishops of the Latin Church. The bishops just could not distinguish heresy from the true doctrine of Jesus Christ and his church concerning the divinity of Christ. They all compromised, so many of them compromised, they were confused. And they could not see something as plain as the light of day. I mean, we in the church for centuries and centuries, every Sunday we professed profess the faith that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Almighty Father, who had taken on human flesh. He became incarnate and was born of the Virgin Mary. That's our faith. And they couldn't see it. They just couldn't understand that the Arian heresy that reduced Jesus Christ to pure creaturehood, but with divine honors, but a creature, they couldn't understand how that could be entirely wrong. And they were confused on that point. And these were the bishops of the church. So it's happened before. And this is what I say is this is proof of the existence of the devil. Using that weakness coming from original sin, the darkening of the intellect, and leading the bishops collectively into a state of confusion.
Well, their confusion is going to be their demise, not physically, but as a potent force in the church. They should be able to reverse this. I don't see why not.
They should, and it will eventually physically lead to their demise. Because the punishment of God is going to be severe, and a large portion of the human race is going to perish, and they will number among those who perish.
Is there any talk? Are you picking up any chatter from the bishop class, if that's the right term, of people who are at least talking about something has to be done to confront the evil in Rome now? If they don't do it, they've got to lead their parishioners. They've got to lead the masses, the 1.3 billion. Otherwise, the people are not going to, in my opinion, be able to coalesce and do anything of any substance or significance. It's really on the bishops, is it not? Isn't that where this has to come from?
Ultimately, yes. And unfortunately, the bishops think in terms of not just the canon law, but in terms of a pure legalism, as if this man is the Pope of the Catholic Church. Why? Because he was elected by the cardinals. Now, you look through church history, and there are plenty of false popes who were elected by the cardinals. So the fact that this man was elected by the cardinals is not a divine seal of approval and a guarantee of the authenticity that we have a valid occupant of the chair of Peter. A true successor of the Apostle Peter must be a man who professes the faith of Peter. And what is more important a qualification than the legal qualification of having been validly elected according to the mere formalities of law, is that the man must theologically understood be capable of being pope.
Right.
For example, if a man were to be elected pope and it were to be found out that he was never baptized a Catholic, and that if it were found out that he was secretly practicing some other religion and he was an infiltrator, then it would be clear that he's not the Pope. He's not the Pope because the very first qualification to be Pope is that one must be a believing Catholic. One must be a professing Catholic, and if it's found out that he professes some other religion, then he doesn't qualify to be Pope.
I understand.
So it doesn't matter what are the legal requirements that he has fulfilled in order to be elected Pope. That all counts for nothing if the man is not a baptized Catholic and capable of holding office. And Bergoglio is not capable of holding office. He's disqualified because he has openly professed his rejection of what is universally known to be the Catholic faith. I think the best example is where he, where Jesus Christ solemnly commanded his apostles to go forth and make disciples of all nations. And for 2,000 years, that command has been followed, and they have had the missionary activity to go to even to non-Christian lands and to baptize them into the Catholic Church, to preach, to evangelize them, to preach the Catholic faith to them, and to right. baptize them, them into the Church. According to Bergoglio, Bergoglio says to convince others of your faith is not, it's illicit. It's he said it is that this activity is a venom. It is poisonous. So Bergoglio is basically saying in no uncertain terms that to obey the command of Jesus Christ is venom. It is poisonous. This man
well,
is not a believer.
I don't know. It's Father Kramer, is there any historical precedence of an attempt to overthrow the Church or take undue influence via the papacy and having a, we'll call it a revolt just for the heck of it, by the lower power echelons in the Church, such as the bishops? And were they or were they not effective if there was such a thing? I don't know the history of the Church, but I'm just curious.
Well, it was on the level of the episcopacy. The Arians attempted to take over the Church with men of their belief system, but they could not get the papacy. I've forgotten the name of the emperor at the time, but the emperor appointed a man by the name of Felix to be, as it were, a co-pope with Pope Liberius. But the Roman people and the Roman clergy did not accept Felix, and they drove him out, and they remained loyal to Pope Liberius. So they were not able to get this Arian to function as pope. Mm-hmm. And have a two-pope situation like we had under Pope Benedict XVI and the so-called Francis.
Yeah. Well, I'm just amazed that an organization, a church, the church, with an incredible history of two millennia, is able to be overthrown with such apparent ease and without a worldwide, at least a fragmentation of the Church to the extent that some would be enraged, some would, there's no visible flashback from this at all. It's just, it's very quiet. I'm not seeing anything. You're in the middle of it. I'm not. But I would think that the bishops especially would be outraged. I would think that certain congregations around the world would be wise to what's going on. I mean, Bergoglio and his cronies just walked in. It was planned, and they took over. They threw Benedict XVI out, imprisoned him for the last 9 years of his life or whatever it was, and took over. And yet there was nothing done of any substance that I can see to stop this or to reverse it. Am I wrong? I'm just not seeing it.
It's absolutely correct. And the fundamental reason why nothing is done is because they have this false idea that Bergoglio is the Pope, and because he's the Pope, they can't do anything. The Church's doctrine is different. It has clearly been taught by Pope Innocent III, and it has been very clearly explained by in theological terms, in the most clear understandable term as possible by St. Robert Bellarmine, by St. Alphonsus Liguria, by Pietro Ballerini, by Pope Gregory the 16th, explaining the teaching of Pope Innocent III on this point, that if the Pope were to defect from the faith into heresy, he would not be Pope anymore. Because in order to be a Pope, the faith of the Church must be visibly seen in his profession. If he professes not just some mistakes inadvertently or stupidly or ignorantly, right, but if he knowingly departs from the Catholic faith and professes something that is diametrically opposed to the Catholic faith, then that man is incapable of being a Pope. And if he were a Pope, he would fall from office when it is seen that he professes some other faith than the Catholic faith.
I got it.
And it cannot be otherwise. It could not possibly be otherwise. The First Vatican Council made the doctrinal profession that as a premise to the dogma of papal infallibility, that in order that the Pope be given this grace to teach infallibly, that grace is premised on his faith, the faith that the Pope's faith cannot fail, that this was a promise made by Jesus Christ to St. Peter and his successors, that his faith cannot fail. Because his faith cannot fail, he is able to confirm the faith of all the bishops of the Church. With that pronouncement, it became unanimously taught by the theologians that a true pope could not actually be a heretic. And so if the Pope were to be a heretic, that would be proof that he is not the Pope.
Okay. All right. Well, what do we have now? I mean, who would make such a decision? Shouldn't this be a decision of the 1.3 billion members of the Church? Shouldn't they be able to weigh on this somehow? Or is there not that kind of a democratic input from the members of the Church? Do they have a voice?
Well, like a republic, where you don't have direct democracy, but you have the appointed electors who would do the voting. You have the same situation, the same kind of constitution in the Church, which is that when the papacy fails and there is no valid Pope, and there's an imposter or a man who is so doubtfully the Pope that no one can believe that with any certitude that this man is actually a Pope, then it falls upon the bishops of the Church. The bishops need to gather in a council and decide, make a judgment, and if they make the judgment that this man is not the Pope, and there's no way to verify that he is the Pope, that he's a heretic, and then they would have to elect a new Pope.
For example, since Vigano has a pretty big following now, he's got a lot of attention when he speaks, people are listening. Shouldn't you maybe be the troublemaker and contact some of these key players and see what their thoughts are on the issue? If something isn't done now, Father Kramer, I fear for the future for the Church. I really do.
I think that with the conclusion of the Synod in October of this year,
right,
I think then we will finally see that critical mass reached in the hierarchy, not among all the bishops, but among a significant portion of the bishops, who will then say, this is not the Catholic Church, that these men, they will fall in line with the thinking of Archbishop Vigano, which is that this is a gang of heretics.
These are pirates. They're thugs. That's all they are.
These are intruders. They're pirates.
Yeah.
They are sectarians. These are sectarians who have taken over the Vatican. Mm-hmm. And like Archbishop Vigano said, the Swiss guards should use military power, arrest the man, and remove him.
And how do we get that to? How does he, or how do we, as spoken as a member of the group who's concerned here, how does this happen? Will the Swiss guards follow orders, and whose orders will they follow?
What's
tradition?
That's a question of physical removal. And if that is not carried out, then what is the canonical and legal removal takes place when he is declared not to be the Pope.
Right.
When a legitimate council of bishops will declare this man is not the Pope, he's a heretic, he's outside of the Church, and from the moment that he knowingly and culpably professed heresy, from that moment, he lost all ecclesiastical dignity, lost any office he may have held. This is what was declared by the Council of Constance against a man who called himself Benedict XIII, Pedro de Luna, who was claiming to be Pope in the early 1400s. In the year 1417, it was declared that he was in schism and heresy. He had separated himself from the Church, and that he had lost any office and all ecclesiastical dignity when he separated himself from the Church.
Uh-huh.
Now, even there were many who believed that he was a true pope for some time. Even a great saint like Saint Vincent Ferrer had thought that he was the Pope. But when it became clear that he was obstinate in his belief, he was so obstinate in his belief that he was Pope that he declared that only his followers were in the Catholic Church, and that the rest of the entire Church had defected from the Church. That only he and his minuscule group of followers, that was the Catholic Church.
Pretty strange. I get it.
And at that point, the representatives of the council went back to Constance, and they delivered his answer to the council, and the council declared, this man is outside of the Catholic Church. He's not the Pope. Because he had thumped his hand down on his throne and said, the wooden chair, and he said, this is the boat, this is the Ark of Noah. Outside of this Ark, there is no salvation. Here in Panisculo, the little place, that little area, in the place in Spain, as if the Catholic Church were localized only in Panisculo, and the rest of the world, the Catholic Church didn't exist anymore. And that's what he was saying.
Sounds like a brain tumor potential here somewhere.
So it happened before in history, where a man was clearly clearly deviated from the Catholic faith and was could not in any sense of be called a Catholic anymore, and the bishops declared him to be outside of the Church. And Bergoglio fits that same description.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The bishops of the Church must make the same declaration about Bergoglio.
Yeah. It's either that or that they're going to watch the end of 2,000 years. This is like Biden not being impeached over here. What the hell? They impeached Trump in no time at all. Biden is being protected. And I'll say further, and again, I'm speaking as a layperson. It's obvious to me that the same characters, the same power base, that run most of the planet through finance, banking, economy, bribery, blackmail, murder, and all the rest of it. The same people are involved with this, the overthrow, a de facto overthrow of the Catholic Church. And this has to be confronted.
That is exactly the case. And the same kind of sophistry and phony arguments are being used to uphold this bogus papacy. I'll give you an example, like the kind of legal arguments that are being used to defend Bergoglio. One of the apologists for Bergoglio is a man by the name of Austin Ivory, and he says that Cardinal Robert Sarra must submit his resignation and hand in his red hat as a cardinal because he's betrayed the Pope.
Uh-huh.
What Cardinal Sarra is saying is that this decree approved by Bergoglio, made by Fernandez, Tucho Fernandez, is heretical. This is heretical, and it is a heresy. The idea that the church can bless homosexual unions is heresy, and they're using fake arguments to say that they're not blessing the unions; they're only blessing the people. I've explained that before.
It's put in the vernacular. It's BS. We know that. They're just playing word games, and it's the same old semantic crap. This is incredible. It's like, go ahead.
It's like democratic courts. And the Democratic state officials excluding Trump from the ballot, they're saying because of insurrection.
Right.
And they conveniently forget that a man is presumed by law to be innocent until he's proven guilty and convicted.
It's incredible. Believe me, Americans who are politically alert and astute and wise can't believe what's going on here. I can't. And I've been around a while. No, this is preposterous. And here we have an organization, dear friends, of 1.3 billion people around this planet, members of the Roman Catholic Church, who have been literally stripped of tradition, of church ethics, by an overthrow in the Vatican, and no one is coming to their rescue. Not yet. And this is a huge thing. The church is being made into a laughingstock. Never mind the moral issues. It just astounds me, Father Kramer. It really does. I can't imagine if I were a practicing devout Catholic how I'd feel about this. I think the outrage would know no bounds.
Well, in the Catholic, it should be, and there are among those Catholics who understand what are the Church's traditions, and those are the ones that Bergoglio and his gang are railing against, the ones who uphold the tradition of the Church.
Right.
But we Catholics, we understand that it is our, by divine right, it is our right to have a Catholic Pope, and not some imposter who has some strange new religion, who would try to reform Church, who would try to abolish our religion and reform it into some strange new religion, which is what Bergoglio is doing.
If I might be a little repetitive, this goes back to the same people who are trying to overthrow the planet and depopulate via genocide much of the domain of what we call organized government in nation states around the world. This is a very powerful cartel of evil, a cabal of evil. And I'm amazed. Imagine taking over an organization with 1.3 billion devout people in it worldwide. And that's what these same old people have succeeded in doing so far. That's the status quo right now. Bergoglio's brigands, and it's not good. Not good.
Well, those people are trying to bring about the dismemberment of Russia, to partition, the partitioning of Russia, and so that they can dominate Russia as well. But the message of Fatima says otherwise, that God is going to use Russia as an instrument of chastisement. So they will be punished. Russia is the instrument that God has chosen to punish them.
Got it. You know, we talked about this in the past, Father Kramer, Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, the great American prophet, who was able to go into a trance and locate any individual and give a 100% accurate on their entire health and physiological profile. It was a remarkable thing. And he said that one day, this was in the 30s, he said, one day Russia will be the light unto the world. And Russia right now is the light unto the world. And will Russia reach out, even though it's Eastern Orthodox Russian Christianity, or whatever the name of the religion is formally, will they be the ones to come to the rescue of the Catholic Church? I don't know. It seems like a small military force could go in there and clean the Vatican out, quite literally, and start over. I don't know. It's just a strange thing.
We know from the message of Fatima, in the secret, which has not been officially revealed, but among those cardinals and prelates who have seen the secret and have read it, and have communicated to their close advisors, we know that in the secret of Fatima, that what will take place is that there will be a world war. It will be a dreadful war, much worse than what the World War II combined. It's going to be. And when Russia is, the very existence of Russia will be threatened, that by divine intervention, the church will come to the surface again from underground. The church will come to the surface. The bishops and the Pope will consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the grace will be given. Where Russia will be completely converted to Christ, His Church, to the Catholic faith, to the traditions of the Eastern Orthodox Church, even before the time of the split between the Orthodox and the Roman Church, when the Orthodox and the Roman Church were united as one church with these. Mm-hmm. With two different liturgical traditions. They had two different spiritual traditions, but they were of the same faith and of the same doctrine. All will be united in the one faith. Mm-hmm. And it will be through Russia that faith will be restored in the world.
Is there any direct evidence, circumstantial or otherwise, that The administration of the formerly United States of America is being run by Barack Obama, hands-on. He's running the O-Biden administration. It's Obama. It's his third term, and he's looking for a fourth term. Is there any reason to suspect that this government, alleged government, is involved with a Bergoglio sham? I'm just kind of curious. Is there a geopolitical stretch there that can be made?
There was. I don't recall the name of the publication, but it was a political. It was a magazine that of some prestige too. It was a scholarly journal, not just a popular publication. That outlined. Some evidence to show that it was the Obama administration that was behind the toppling of the papacy under Benedict XVI. And they engineered this coup d'etat, which removed Benedict and replaced him with this Argentinian Bergoglio.
Right. Well, that's an interesting thing. If that ever surfaces again, that ought to be, please send it to me and I'll certainly publish it. That needs to be reconsidered. Because I just think that there's so much chicanery going on over here. I don't know how it looks from Ireland. It must look pretty bad. This country is in grim trouble. If this country's Supreme Court decides that the issue of whether or not somebody appears on the ballot is a state's rights, constitutional guaranteed tenant, if that happens, this country is done. That'll fragment it, and it'll never be. It's like Humpty Dumpty. You won't put it back together again. All the states will be given their own hegemony over who's on the ballot under states' rights, the doctrine of states' rights. We're really, this whole year, I believe, has been essentially scripted out long ago, and they're just running it through. It's preordained agenda now. But it's going to be an insane year here. It's going to be bad. And I'm sure what I'm seeing about what's going on in Ireland now must make you ill. I can't believe what's going on there. It's as if Stalinist Bolsheviks had walked in and taken over the government there. It's crazy what I'm seeing. Yeah.
The prime minister we have now, Leo Varadkar, has been described as Stalin in high heels.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, he's a cross-dresser, too? Or whatever?
Well, he's not a cross-dresser, but he is, how should I say, of the limp-wristed variety.
Got it. A closeted
not
politician.
Really,
no more
he's
closeted.
Open.
He's open. Okay. He got out. Whatever. All right. Anyway, this is crazy. Now, let me ask you this. We're going to shift topics a little bit here. In terms of global genocide by these same people, and I can tell you with all assurity that these people are the same people, how is it looking to you that the world is new? It's now in its fifth year. We're moving into our fifth year since they began rolling out this whole policy of injection, the warp speed program and all that. There are a lot of people dying, Father Kramer, a lot of people. I don't know if you know many, but most people I know a lot of people who are now dead from these shots. And then we have the shedding issue. Go ahead.
I know of people who have died from this too.
Yeah.
The answer is that, of course, there's this this treaty that gives the World Health Organization dictatorial power to impose uh-huh. these genocidal bioweapon injections on nations. And they're going to, the World Health Organization is already telling us that they're going to release another pandemic into the environment, another pathogen into the environment. Like they admitted that they had released the H1N1 virus into the environment back in 2009. They admitted it was their own admission that they released it into the environment.
Right.
I saw it on their own website.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it when I first heard it, but then I looked it up and I found their website, and it was the World Health Organization, and they admitted that they had released the H1N1 swine flu virus into the environment. Mm-hmm. And now they say there's going to be Disease X.
Right.
The World Health Organization has said that there's going to be this Disease X. It's going to be like 10 times more deadly than COVID.
Right.
It's going to kill so many more people. And how do they know with such certainty? How could they possibly know this unless they're going to take this virus from a bioweapons lab and release it into the environment? That's the only way they could be so certain about it.
I agree.
Yet they're saying,
and
they're telling
I
us
don't
that
know.
This is going
Go
to
ahead.
Take place. Pandemic is going to happen. They assure us that it's going to happen. And they have now the power to impose their so-called vaccine, which is going to kill billions of people.
Correct. That's I hate to say it, but you are correct. I've been saying it here for years. This Ebola issue, there was someone, I believe it was Gates, who named Ebola as the next big pandemic. Whether it's Ebola or not, I don't know. We'll see. But Ebola is certainly one of the candidates. It's got about a 60% case fatality rate, which would fill the bill of killing a lot more people than COVID, at least initially. COVID was set up as a bioweapon with a longer fuse on it. It's a 2 to 5 year window. That's my best guess at this point. Some people die right away. Some people, it takes time. But I can tell you this, there are hundreds of millions, if not more, right now who are living lives of abject misery from being injured by the bioweapon, physiologically injured. They are hurting. They're miserable. And many of them are talking about suicide. They want out. You will not see this on the mainstream media. We cover it here. But this whole thing is being orchestrated. Don't think for a moment that anything of power or substance is being left to chance anymore. It's all by the plan. Their plan, not our plan. And they're doing it.
Countries like New Zealand, who have kept the records, have proven beyond all shadow of doubt that these bioweapons, so-called vaccinations, are killing a large number of people. Because the deaths from all causes is the death rate among those who have been vaccinated is far higher than those who have not been vaccinated.
I think New Zealand made a statement. Somebody in New Zealand made a statement that all the people who took the first round are now gone, already gone, over a period of 4 years. I don't know that that's true. There was a great refutation of it by the existing government there, but all you had to do is look at the former leader of the government there, and you'll understand what the platform is. The people have lost control of their destiny, their daily lives, and this is worldwide. It's not in every country, but it's in many countries. And I hope something happens. So far, I'm not seeing it. But if the people don't rise up through whatever mechanism they have or don't have, it's over. It's done here. And we'll wait to see what comes out on the other side.
There is a prophecy, of course, that people will rise up. And that will start in Argentina. This was Saint Luigi Orione who made that prophecy. And because the government is going to be so oppressive, there's going to be such oppression that the people are just going to collectively lose it, and they're going to go on a rampage against all those powers, all those institutional powers that are the instruments of their own oppression. And it will start in Argentina, and it will spread throughout the world, because we're going to be looking at financial economic collapse like there's never been before. It's going to make the Great Depression look like a time of prosperity in comparison. We see what the situation between Russia and the West is going to intensify.
Oh yes.
And things are going to erupt in the Middle East, and every indication is that both in the Middle East and in Europe between and United States and Russia, that that things are going to explode.
I agree. Although, if I might just interject this, I keep waiting to see, and I'm not encouraging it. I keep waiting to see stories of vigilante justice here in the U.S. Aimed at the people who injected, say, a wife, a mother, children, and that family has a father, and that family has been largely killed off. I keep waiting for somebody. I expect to see this story, and again, I'm not promoting it, of people taking the law into their own hands and getting even with those who gave the injections or who ordered the injections. These injections are death. And I so far, I'm not seeing it. And I'm a little bit surprised.
It's going to happen when they turn to force people, when they use this coercive power of the state to compel people.
And that's coming. Yes.
And people are going to be injected, and people are going to be dying from these injections. And when people see that they are being given the lethal injection, that they're being exterminated, when they see that, when they clearly see that the official policy of government is exterminism, their own extermination at the hands of their government, that's mm-hmm. when the people are going to rise up, and they're going to go on a rampage.
I honestly hope that happens. I personally consider everyone involved with the giving of vaccines, I don't accept any excuses, as being accessories to mass murder. That's my take. I think these people should have known. The data was out there, at least data enough to cause them to question what the hell they were doing and why were they doing it. And a person of conscience would have stepped away and said, I'm not participating in this. But there are too many people who have been paid, too many doctors who have been paid. If 60% of a doctor's practice is fully vaxxed, that's usually two shots and a booster. They get a bigger stipend from the big pharma government conglomerate. They get more money. This is really sick. It's the devil. It's satanic.
And it means that these doctors will be able to have a more elaborate funeral, because the doctors are dying. The way doctors are dying, it's incredible how many doctors are dying.
Two and a half years ago, they gave all the professional health people in America, in many states, an ultimatum. You either get the shot or you're finished. And one third of the healthcare professionals in America walked away. They quit, they resigned, said, nope, I'm not taking that shot. Two thirds remained behind. And that's more than enough to man the positions needed to continue this genocide. And they did. And I consider those people evil, bad people.
Well, I know of nurses and doctors, one I know personally, who have been permanently disabled.
There you go. Yeah. And, you know, here we also, in this country, and I know you've got the same problem there, these third world invaders, and I'm not saying anything should be done to harm them, but they should be returned to their countries immediately. They never should have been allowed in. This was a globalist invasion of white Western Christian nations by third world prisoners, lower class people. It's not their fault, but that's the fact of the matter. And they're being injected into our country here. And now we're talking about states like Maine, Massachusetts, which has a law on the books that says everyone is deserving or entitled to shelter, a home. They're going to begin to put these people not just in elementary schools and high schools, in hotels. They're getting closer now to demanding that homeowners begin to take these people in. And this is not going to go down well. We'll see. But that's how bad it is here.
I remember Angela Merkel a few years ago even said that the German people are going to have to accept these people into their houses.
Yes. Right. It's look, it's on the table, friends. It's part of their plan. They've had this all put together. I think the number in Europe is at least 25 million invaders now who have been allowed in, brought in, forced in. It's a lot of people. And these people don't want to assimilate. For goodness sakes, we know that. They're only there to cause trouble. And since Biden, the old Biden regime, we have over here over 10 million more invaders brought in here. And there's a documentary, or I know it was a news report I saw, a big airport in the Northeast somewhere. I don't know which airport it was. But they had it with black plastic. They had about half of it cordoned off. And the other side was hundreds and hundreds of invaders sleeping in the airport terminal, on the floors, on benches, and living there, at least temporarily, tentatively, in the airport. And they said that the stench was unbelievable. We're headed, this country, Europe, is headed into the trash can of history unless it wakes up somehow. I just don't have the answers. If the people don't have it in them anymore, what else is there? You're not going to get it at voting in the election. You're not going to get it by pushing the buttons on your cell phones. Not going to happen. So anyhow, bad times.
Well, my opinion might not be too popular, but first of all, they should not be allowed in the country. And if they are already in the country, they should be put into camps.
Work camps. We have infrastructure projects that need work. Work camps. I agree. Father Kramer, thank you for joining me again. We'll talk in a couple of weeks or so. Be careful. Be safe over there. It's crazy, as you know.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Father Paul Kramer from Ireland, and there's the truth for you, right from Father Kramer. Okay, it's Friday. That means weekend coming up. Still time to try to plan, try and make preparations if you have the financial ability to do so. Even if you don't, there are things you can do. So take care of yourselves. You know damn well the government's not going to. We'll be back Monday. You know where you can hear us over the weekend, right here. And we'll be at rents.com the rest of the time. Take care. Thanks for being here. Talk soon.